kind of give my testimony about what God's been doing in my life. And I can't really do that without sharing how God changed me to bring me to this point. About a year and a half ago, my dad lost his job, and we found out we were moving. And that was very, very difficult because I was in a rut where I was, and I was content in God where I was, which is a very scary place to be. And I had an experience at family camp last summer. God started showing me things, and he told me at family camp throughout the whole week, he's like, Andrea, you will do this specific thing in the lives of people that you meet. I'm like, right, God, that's kind of scary. And by saying that, he kind of handed me a piece of a puzzle. And I was scared. I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be moving, so what's going to happen? And I was frustrated. I'm like, how is this going to work out? Because he's giving me these little pieces of the puzzle along the way. I'm like, God, none of these fit together. I mean, are you sure you know what you're doing? Like, do you need the puzzle box with the picture on it or something? And out of nowhere, in the midst of the situation, God gave me peace about it. And I was reading my Bible after that happened, and Philippians 4:7 talks about peace that passes all understanding. And I didn't really understand how that was. And I looked into John 14:27 when Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm leaving you guys, but guess what? I'm going to give you peace. And it's not like the world gives you peace. Like, you have no substitution for this kind of peace. And so we moved, and I had my first day of school. And I'd been the new kid before, and I was not excited about it. And my whole day was kind of like, all right, you know, this is all happening. I have no idea what's going on. You know, just go with the flow. And my seventh hour class came, and my now very good friend, Andrea Elliott, yes, she has the same exact name as me. It's kind of creepy. She came up to me, and she goes, hi, my name is Andrea. Are you Pentecostal? Yes. Oh, I could just tell, you know. I'm like, all right. And, you know, I later find out that she had a family member that was involved in UPC Ministries, and she had been to some camps before in the state she used to live. And I still wasn't really excited about my situation. I was like, God, I still don't really see how you're going to make this work. And at that point, God should have just hit me over the head with a bat, to be honest, because this girl came up to me my first day, knew practically half of who I was, and called me out on it, and was like, hey, you're Pentecostal, and I can tell. And you know, I still didn't see it. And God kept reminding me, Andrea, if you step out in the midst of this difficult situation, I will take care of you. Don't worry about it. So I tried to never pass up an opportunity. Never. People, you know, you moved to a new school. Even before I moved, people ask me questions almost every day. You know, why do you do things this way? Why are you different? You know, what gives you the right to treat people that way? And, you know, we're mean. Why can't you be mean? And I never passed up an opportunity to tell people about that. And there was a message that was preached a few months ago about God's sacrificed love for us and how we can't balance the scales. There's no way we can make it even, but we can strive for it. We can strive for his will. We can run after it. And as I was praying after that sermon, very intensely, almost like my experience I had at family camp, God told me, Andrea, you are right where I need you to be. I just need you to step out. You know, I'm on the ledge. I'm standing there. Just go free fall. And I was nervous. I'm like, God, I am afraid to do this. And he's kind of like, you know, I just imagine God up there going, you're a little mixed up. I didn't really ask you if you were afraid. I asked you if you were willing. And God had so much patience with me, and that was kind of my hit over the head that I needed earlier. We did have a chance to go back and visit Eau Claire, and for the first time. And that afternoon, we were sitting in our hotel in Eau Claire, and my friend Andrea Elliott called me, and I had kind of been inviting people to the church, and we had our new Ignite kickoff, so I invited people to that. And she's like, hey, I'm going to church tonight. I'm really excited, and I'm bringing, you know, Lindsay and Shelby with me, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I was going to be there now. And I'm like, sorry, I'm not going to be there. Oh, we're going anyway. Okay, you know, have a great time. And that was all that was on my mind that night. I hope they're having a good time. I hope, you know, the message is relevant to them. I hope people are being nice to them. And something the minister said that night in the sermon that I was in really caught my attention. He said, you know, you've asked God for little things. You know, God, please heal my car. Please let me pass this test. Please don't let me trip up these stairs. You know, and now God doesn't look at those and say, oh, those are petty. No, no, no. He says, okay, you know, you're my child. I'll take care of that. But now he's saying, hey, come on. It's time for you to ask me for something a little bit bigger. So I was praying about that. And like, all right, God, even if it's small, Please let those girls from my school come to a small realization of who you are and your love for them tonight. And I thought that was a big request. So Phil and Fiona called me after that service, and they're just screaming on the phone, you know, oh, Lindsay got the Holy Ghost. I'm like, oh my goodness, that is so awesome. And my mouth is like, I cannot believe that that happened. And I'm just like, I started crying on the phone, and they were like, oh, people were so nice, and they had such an awesome time, and they want to come back, and, you know, they made so many friends. And I guess I really shouldn't have been surprised, though, now that I look back on it, because God did make me promise, and he would bring to pass what he promised, right? And it is so true about one person's real experience in God. They will go, and they will just tell all their friends. They just tell everyone. And, you know, I'm starting to see the little outline of what that's happening. These people who have come to church and experienced God in this real way, they go back, oh my gosh, you have to come to this youth group. These people are so much fun, and they're really not even that weird. And let me tell you about those youth leaders, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's just this chain reaction going on. You know, you saw pictures of the all-nighter. Yeah, that was insane, you know. And my friend Andrea Elliott and my friend Lindsay kept me busy asking for permission slips. We needed permission slips for it. You know, I handed them to them. They're like, we're going to need about six more. I'm like, all right, this is awesome. You know, who are you inviting? They're like, oh, this person. I was like, yeah, I have no idea who they are, but that's so cool. And then I'm thinking about it like, oh, strange people coming to my house in my car. Yeah. All right. I was like, God, you got it under control. And just so many things that God's doing that I just would never have imagined. If you had asked me a year ago if I was teaching a Bible study in my school, I would have said you're talking to the wrong Andrea, because there is more than one. You know, and I've had this opportunity that I found out about this Bible study group that gets together every Monday and Friday morning at my school, and they seek after God. This group of Christians in the midst of a public school environment, which is not easy to do. It is definitely not easy to do. You have to have boundaries, and you have to have that foundation in God to do that. And God's really used this opportunity for me to show them, hey, you know, what you know about God is really cool, but here's what I know about God. This is a little more. This is just a little something extra. And you know what? That's not the only thing that's happening. That's the cool thing. They're saying, hey, what you know about God is cool. Let me show you this verse I learned about last night. You know, let me show you this. And I'm just going to, sidetrack a little bit. There's this girl in that group who has made me so convicted. Her love for God, she talks about him, and this huge smile comes to her face. And in her eyes, she wants to get up and start dancing around, but she knows those halls are packed with people that are just look at her so weird. She has such a love for God, and that made me feel convicted. I was like, God, I have the Holy Ghost. How come I don't feel that way? You know, that's just some things that God's been working with me in that area. And he's really, really showing me something new. And back to those little puzzle pieces I was talking about, I don't have that whole puzzle glued together on a nice little piece of cardboard to show you guys. It'd be awesome, but I'm sorry, I don't. There's still stray pieces. There's things that don't fit together yet. But there's an edge that's forming, and there's a corner, you know? There's those little pieces in the middle. They're starting to come together, you know? You see a sunset starting to form in the corner. And even if I never see it on Earth, I know that he sees it, and he knows what's going on. I just want to end really quick with Romans 8:28, if everyone could turn there really quick. This is something that I've definitely had to hold on to in my situation. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Jumping now to verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Okay, so I'm sure we've all heard the parable of the talents found in Matthew 25. But let me just refresh all your memories. There was a master who was leaving town, and he took three of his servants aside. He gave one of the servants five talents, one two talents, and the last one. After the master left, the first two servants went out and used their talents for the master. They doubled what they had been given. But the third servant buried his talent because he was afraid. When the master returned, he praised the first two servants for their hard work. Because of their faithfulness, the master made them ruler over many things. But the master was angry with the third servant, and he took his talent away and gave it to the servant who had pleased him. Just as the master gave his servants talents to use, God has given all of us talents. I'm no longer talking about the coin, but rather the physical abilities. In the parable, two of the servants went off and used their talents. The third just let it sit there. He buried them, and they went to waste when they could have been used for the master. Just as if we let our talents go to waste, nothing will happen to them. They will not go to work themselves. We must put them into motion. I'm willing to bet that there are several people here tonight who have a talent or two that they are afraid to use. You may be afraid that you'll embarrass yourself, that you'll be made fun of, or that you're not good enough. I know this happened to me a few months ago. I knew who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do, but I was afraid to step out of my comfort zone and put forth the effort to make that talent be something. Even though I knew that God had given this to me, this talent, I was afraid. So I just began to question God, like, why would you use me when there's so many talented people all around me? But after a few weeks, I began to realize this isn't God's mentality. It's quite the opposite. If you give God anything, he will give it back. What happened to the servants that used their talents to the master? They got more, and they were able to go back out and use those. If you give your talents to God, no matter how small, he will increase them. He will pour out his blessings and anointing on you. So don't ever worry how small your talent is. I'm pretty sure Pastor Grant just didn't decide to pastor a large church. Sister Vicky, she had to work long and hard to learn songs to become such an amazing piano player and choir director. And Brother Phil and Sister Fiona didn't just wake up youth pastor. And there's so many other talented people in this church, and they all started with just a small talent they put forth, and it's become something great. And it doesn't matter what your talent may be or what ministry you feel called to, whether you're singing in the choir, driving bus, greeting visitors, teaching Sunday school, vacuuming floors, or preaching, no job is more important than another. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." So I'm encouraging all of you to start today. Step out of your comfort zone, unbury that talent, and invest it in God. I can't wait to see the awesome things that he'll do in your life if you do this.
Thank you so much. That's pretty incredible now, wasn't it?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would turn to 2 Kings and stand with me for the reading of the word, if you're not already. 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. Give honor to our pastoral staff. Appreciate their believing in these young people, believing in Sister Fiona and I. It means the world to us. I give honor to Dave Shroud, who, when I started preaching a little more, that he helped me get rid of my ums. If I say tonight, sorry, now I'm going to be thinking about it probably. Appreciate that, Brother Dave. We all need people to speak into our lives. Help us. 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 9. The Bible says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth," he was angry, "went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" You see, Naaman, the king of Syria, was a leper. He had leprosy. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he," that is Naaman, "down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. If you would put your Bibles down and pray with me that God would just speak to our hearts tonight as we talk about this topic, wash away. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that we can be in this place. We thank you, God, that you're here, Lord Jesus, right now. Where two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst of them, God, and we have felt your presence. But God, I pray through your word, Jesus, that you would speak to us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, transform people tonight, God. As your word goes forth, God, help us to receive it, to be open and empty, to be filled tonight, Jesus. In your name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And you may be seated. I went to the mailbox and opened up the letter or the package, and it said across the front, "It's your lucky day." Yeah. You could be the next $10 million Publishers Clearing House winner. You have a high likelihood to win. Just send it on in. Send your name. And I went to the recycling bin and threw it away. Because, see, giving for the giveaway that's going to be given in 2012, the odds for that $10 million prize is a 1 in 1.75 billion chance. The worst odds that have ever been for Publishers Clearing House. There's things that we get in the mail like that. Fiona really loves to cook and really loves to find new recipes. We've subscribed to different magazines like Taste of Home, Awesome Magazine, and different ones. Well, probably through all of those getting her name out through magazines and stuff, we received one day Cooking Club. I don't know if any of you ladies got the Cooking Club invitation, but we did. And it went on. I mean, it was just page after page of things you're going to have. Free products. You could test these products. Let us know how they work and keep them. You know, and just for signing up in the next 30 days, we're going to send you a cheese grater. We're going to send you some coffee grounds and $100 grocery card. I'm like, $100. And what's the catch? Well, it was only like $12 a year. For this, you know, to the fee. And I'm like, honey, we gotta do that. Cause, hey, $100 grocery card. Sweet, $12. $100, that'll save us $88, you know. And I encourage her to get into it. Cause we're like, hey, $12. I've got $12. Let's just do it. All right, we did it. Well, come to find out, I'm not gonna get into all of it, but just this grocery card. Cause this is what's been really bugging me. Because I was all excited. Well, they send the intro pack like 4 weeks after we send in our, you know, it takes forever for these people to get back to you. And I'm looking for this grocery card. We've got our free labels, Cooking Club with Fiona's name and address. I mean, come on. And our free Cooking Club magnet we can put on the fridge, but no grocery card. And I'm looking, and I find this little slip of paper. To get your grocery card, send this in, and you'll get your grocery card. I'm like, sweet. What an extra step, but you know what, we'll go with it. So I send it in. Of course, it didn't say business reply, no stamp. It said, please place your stamp here. So we had to spend a stamp on this to get our 100 up. But, you know, still the trade-off, 100 versus now 1244, I think is the rate of stamp. Hey, that's good, you know. 6 weeks later, and this was like 3 weeks ago, this was January, February we got this, and now it's end of April. And we get in the mail, grocery stuff, and I'm like, yes, our grocery card. No, it's not a grocery card. What you have to do, you get 10 little stamps that are $10 each, and then there's a big, huge order form that you select all the different items that you want to get coupons for. And you have to select them and then list the, I think it was 40 items, list the 40 items in numerical order. And so I'm sure if you forgot and slipped up one, they'd be like, nice try. and then send this in, and what we'll do, we'll send you those coupons back to you with another order form, and then you can use your next $10 stamp. So you have to do this 10 different times. And it's not a grocery card, it's coupons. And the kicker was, please send in a dollar for processing. But we will give you more coupons to make up for the dollar, of course. So I was like, "Buck, hey, I'm riding this. This is going to be fun. Let's see what else they can pull, you know." So I sent it in. So we'll see. It's the end of the story is not there. Maybe in August when I preach, I'll give you the update. Maybe I'll have my coupons, but like 10 different times. It'll be like 2015 before we get our $100 worth of groceries free. I mean, it's free. But there are lots of empty promises in this. And I could go into more. It's ridiculous what they've sent to us. And I then looked online after the fact, and now I see all the comments, and I probably should have looked first. But lots of empty promises or contingent promises or promises that take all these hoops to jump through. You got to do this and then, oh, did we say grocery card? No, it's coupons, blah, 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 blah. But can I tell you today, my friend, today is your day. Today is your day. I looked on the calendar, as Brother Don says, and it's your day. I wish he was here tonight, but he's not. Today is your day. God was looking May 16th, 2010, and it's your day. Have you been looking for a blessing from God? Have you been needing a financial miracle from the Lord? Are you brokenhearted? Are you hurting? Are you addicted? Is there a situation in your life that is out of control and you have no clue what to do? Well, let me tell you, I've got good news for you today. Is your day. You've been selected on Sunday, May 16th, 2010 at Calvary Gospel Church at 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704 to have your need met. Oh, but it's not a drawing tonight. It's not a 1 in a 1.7 billion chance that you would have your need met tonight. It's not even a 1 in a million or 1 in a 1,000 or 1 in 10. You can leave tonight filled. You can leave tonight with your answer met. You don't have to jump through any hoops. There's not an empty promise here. It's your day to be blessed. It's your day to be healed, to be delivered, to be restored, to be transformed, to change your life. You see, we look at our story today, and Naaman, again, was the king of Syria. He had leprosy, which, if you don't know what leprosy is an infectious disease characterized by disfiguring sores. Body parts would fall off from the disease, fingers and toes and ears, and there'd be nerve damage. It's a progressive, debilitating disease. And in that time, now we don't really see leprosy these days, but we have cures and everything. But leprosy was a terrible disease to contract at that time. That lepers were put away from society. They were castaways. They were segregated because other people were like, "Dude, freaky guy. No, only six fingers. That's gross. Go over there." But Naaman was the king of Syria. And Naaman's wife happened to have a servant girl that was enslaved when they went out raiding, and she was from the land of Israel. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us how the deliberations, what to do and stuff, but I'm sure it was well known. Our king has leprosy. What are we going to do? And this servant girl tells her master, Naaman's wife, that, you know what? There's a God that will heal you. There's a God, and my God, the God of Israel, will heal you of that leprosy. You need to go down to Israel. There's a prophet down in Israel, and he'll speak the word, and you will be healed. And so Naaman knew where to go. He may not have believed in the God of Israel, but he had heard about what the God of Israel could do. And Naaman went down to Israel to meet him. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is all you need in this place. Jesus Christ, the answer to your need, it's in Jesus Christ tonight. Luke 11:11 through 12. Brother Parker last week referenced this scripture. It's such a powerful one. It says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? As a dad, if he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? If you ask him for an egg, if the son asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion?" No, not of course not. And Jesus says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" God will fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight.
God will heal you of any disease that you have tonight. He can and he will. Amen? One of the great messages I remember for Brother Thomas, actually it was just a scripture, was Psalms. And it says, he daily loads us up with benefits. He loads us up with benefits. I preach this in Ignite. It's not he gives us benefits for that day. No, he loads us up. Whatever you're going to face, if it's wisdom you need because of a tough situation, if it's comfort you need, he will load you up with those benefits. He will answer your need. The same God who healed Naaman is in this place tonight to meet your need. You've come to the right place. Let's give a hand to the Lord tonight. We look throughout scripture and we see people who have received their miracle or who have been touched by the Lord. And you know, there is a common denominator in every single one. Before there was a miracle or a move of God on someone's behalf, there was an action that took place. Noah built the ark before he and his family were saved from the flood. Moses raised his hands before the Red Sea parted. The children of Israel marched around Jericho 7 times before the walls came down. David stepped out to fight, put a rock, a stone in his slingshot before Goliath was ever taken out. The water pots were filled with water before Jesus turned the water into wine. Zacchaeus, the short, rich, despised tax collector, climbed the tree before he saw Jesus, and Jesus met and ate dinner with him. Bartimaeus, the blind man, as Brother Parker last week talked about, he cried out to Jesus before he was given his sight. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus' garment before she was healed. Peter stepped out of the boat before he walked on water. The apostles broke the bread and fish and started handing it out before the food was miraculously multiplied and the 5,000 were fed. And in our story, Naaman dipped in the Jordan River 7 times before he was cleaned of leprosy. There was an action required of them. Interesting, Naaman is referenced in the Bible one other time in Luke 4:27. And the Bible says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So leprosy was rampant. But why was Naaman the only one who was cleaned in that whole town, whole time, who was healed in that whole time? I would venture to say, when Elisha said, go dip, some people may have been like, huh. Right, see ya. I'll deal with this leprosy. But Naaman took that action. Naaman took that action. How sad for a miracle working God to be in this place tonight and for you to sit back and say, no thanks. I got a desperate need, but no thanks. I'm not going to take that action. I'm not going to take that step. And I'm going to walk out of this place the same miserable creature that I came in. How sad when others will get that healing tonight. You know, that action may not make sense. Naaman got mad. There's plenty of good rivers, clean rivers, but you're telling me to dip in the Jordan River, the dirty Jordan River from Israel? Man, I'm Syrian. Damascus has wonderful rivers. I could see his arrogant self. Like, our rivers are better. And you're going to tell me to dip in this river? You know, our society wants convenience, microwaved results. We want to not have to do anything and get our blessing or get our miracle. We want to come as we are and leave as we are. But Lord, I want a blessing. Lord, I want a blessing. God may say, hey, you need to change something. Hey, you need to take this act of faith. And if you never do, you may never see your miracle. The action may not make sense. If it wasn't for the wise servants of Naaman who said that, you know what, yeah, if he had said, you know, do this crazy thing, great thing, you would have done it, Naaman. Why don't you just dip yourself in the water? And thankfully, Naaman, for his sake, listened to them and said, yeah, I guess it's not that bad. I'll get rid of my pride. I'll set that aside. I look like a retard going down into, I look like a foolish going down into a water and dipping myself. You know what? But people are looking around. I'm the king of Syria. I'm the king of Syria. No, he had to put down his pride. And so we have to put down our pride when it comes to taking that action. That action requires giving up control, if Jordan can get ready for me. Matthew 11:28, if you look at it with me, it says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jordan's getting his blindfold on. He's gonna. I did this in Ignite, and I thought it was a good illustration. But we talk about yoke. Most of us aren't farmers. Some of us maybe, but a yoke is a thing that goes over two oxen and leads them. And come on up, Jordan. Just stand like over here, and then put the blindfold on. So Jordan's need is that he's really thirsty. And he needs water. And so, Jordan, you're going to go find some water. And I have glasses of water up there. But hold on, you got to turn around, get all dizzy. This is fun. Now, no one guide him. No one lead him to where the water is. Jordan, go find the water. That would be Sister Moran. That's not the water. No, you're not getting it. Hold on. You know, take the yoke upon me. Okay. Come on. See, Jordan still can't see. Still doesn't know where he's going. And he may think he has an idea of where the water is.
It's over there.
No. See, and he, you know, even though he's really, really close to, like, maybe disaster, he's just in the yoke of the Lord. He's... You can put your arm down, dude. I'm not going to lead you into anything. You know, it may not be the route you want to take or that makes sense to you or the control that you want to have, but putting God's yoke on you is reassuring. It's peaceful. Or you feel peaceful, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. See, and then the Lord just, maybe it takes a while. Maybe it's not in our timing, but the Lord finally brings us to the need. I'm going to hand it to you because you'll probably drop and not spill it. So, and he brings the water. And Jordan, you can now officially drink from the preacher's water. Not all of it. Give me that. Thank you, Jordan. Let's give Jordan a hand. But you see, the action requires giving up control. It's a hard thing to do. To say, you know what, God? You know, we got some senior, a big junior class and some seniors next year starting to make decisions. And I've talked to them before about this. But I have my ambitions. I have my dreams. But God, I'll do what you want. That's a hard thing to trust in God. To give that control, that's the action requires us to give up the control in our lives. We may not know how it's going to happen, but we may say, you know, this is my timetable, God. I've got to have it by this time. Well, maybe God just wants you to wait a little bit. Maybe he has a reason for why he's doing what you're doing in your life. And you have to give up the control, the plans for your life. The action requires you to trust him. Goes hand in hand with control. Scriptures say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. There's a level of trust. Alicia talked about just, and Andrea alluded, both alluded to the fact of taking that step that's unknown. That's a scary step. There may be some fear of the unknown. Let me tell you, Alicia is not a public speaker. Now she is. She wasn't as of an hour ago. But what a phenomenal job. I asked her last week, only a week's notice, which would freak a young person out. And I emailed Sister Thompson and, sorry, Alicia, I guess I doubted a little bit, but I'm like, Sister Thompson, just really encourage her. I asked her to do a five spot. Right when I sent it, I got a return text from Alicia saying, yeah, sure. And honestly, I was like, wow. Oh my, and I forgive me for thinking that, hey, you might be a little timid, but I know that was a big step for her. And into the unknown. Okay, God, Andrea in new school, she alluded to, okay, God, I gotta take this step. I remember as a kid, I was terrified of roller coasters. And then I got on my first roller coaster that had no upside downs. It was just corkscrew. Actually, it started just up and down. Then I graduated to the corkscrews, and that was okay, but I'd never gone on a roller coaster that was full upside down 360, and I was terrified. Well, I remember going to roller coasters, and again, taking that action, getting in the line, and then right when it, step, step, and I'm back out the exit. I took the action, but I kind of chickened out at the very end. But I remember that first time that my family, it was Busch Gardens down in Tampa, and it was the tallest, I forget what, but it had a whole complete loop, and I took that step of faith that when I got to the top of that, I wasn't going to fall down flat. And needless, it's a great story. My mom got on it, too. Anyways, if you want a great story, I'll tell you that later. But needless to say, after that roller coaster, I'm like, this rocks. What was I thinking? And I'm sure there was a group that went skydiving last year. I'm never doing that. But I'm sure some of you stepped out on that. How many thousand feet was it? It's a mile up. 1,500 feet? 15,000? Oh, my goodness. I'm definitely not doing it. But I'm sure that group was like, okay, and the instructor just pushed him out, I'm sure. But you have to trust that just like that instructor that's on the back of you, that God's got in control. Just jump. Just jump out of the plane. But trust in me, the Lord says. Be a doer of the word tonight. If you would stand with me. James 1:20 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We've heard that the Lord can and will do great things in your life. But you have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. We must go beyond knowledge and just knowing about God and what he can do and get to the point that there is an action on our part. This song that actually, my wife wrote this past week, Living Water, talks about things being washed away. I don't know what it is in your life that needs to be washed away today, church, visitors, friends of mine. If it's doubt, if it's fear, if it's scars from emotional hurts from way, maybe it's 30 years ago, that you don't touch with a 10-foot pole because it's so still so tender. Maybe there have been tears that you've cried over and over again. Hurts, pains, guilt, shame. God wants to wash all of that away tonight. God wants to meet your need, but you must take action. And so as the praise team begins to sing, if you have a physical need, I'd ask that you come on this side, the left side of this up front area. There will be ministers who will pray with you. If you have a situation in life that is just bogging you down, that has been plaguing your life, and you have no clue what to do, come right here in the front, and there will be folks to pray with you. And if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, were ever filled with the Holy Ghost, the most precious gift of God, I'd encourage you to come on this right side. There will be people to pray with you, that you would have everlasting life, freedom from the addictions, from the hurts, the pains, the doubts, the fears. Will you take action tonight? Or will you sit there and leave the same way you came? He wants to wash away every situation in your life. Won't you come right now?